Hello and welcome to Country Matters, BBC Radio Suffolk's countryside magazine. I'm Chris Opperman. This week, in one conversation with someone who describes himself as a Suffolk farm boy, we cover the topics usually dealt with in the programme: the countryside, agriculture, and the rural community. Arthur Post, known to his friends and family as Ark, worked for more than 50 years on Valley Farm at Worstead, just outside Ipswich. On retiring, instead of just recounting his stories over a pint now and again, he decided to put pen to paper, and his book, From Boyhood to Retirement, is the result. I joined Ark in the churchyard at Worstead. Well, Ark, when you said we were going to meet in the churchyard at Worstead, which has one of the finest views in Suffolk, I thought, yeah, I've heard that before. But you're right, it's a view and a half, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Actually, on a clear day, you can see St John's Church, Felixstowe. And although the bridge, we were a bit wondered about that when they first said they were going to build it, but actually that's not spoilt the view at all. Actually, the Reverend Baron Zink, who wrote a book about Worstead, he was a historian as well, he was a vicar of Worstead, in around about 1887. He was travelling up in Scotland and talking to somebody in the carriage, and they were saying they'd been to a pretty little place down in Suffolk, but of course he wouldn't know it. And he said, well, where was that? And they said, Worstead Church. And he said, well, I am the vicar there.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Tell me about the barn and the little hut down on the waterside there, Ark.
Yes, well, the farmhouse is just to the left of the barn, and that is where my grandparents on my mother's side lived. And then my uncle was born there, and he stopped there until he died at the age of 86. And just to the right, quite near the water, near the bank, was where my mother and father came to live in a thatched cottage when they first came here from Dennington area. And that's gone now, that's disappeared. Used to get flooded sometimes along there.
Yes, the old Worstead Strand's famous for its flooding, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes, and we used to know when we were up at the Valley Farm, because the traffic all come around that way, so we thought, hello, high tide, spring high tide.
You promised me a nice sit down on a bench facing south. Let's toddle over, have a sit down and talk about the old days.
Okay, we'll get under the wind.
Well, what a smashing place to sit and talk about the old times, Ark. We were talking about the graves and that bit of sandstone. Looking at the graves, you dug some of these.
Yes, I dug, or helped to dig quite a lot of them. I remember I did dig one, a little gypsy girl. I dug it on my own, unfortunately. Not a very nice job. One grave that we helped to dig here, my brothers and my father, we always used to have to sort of dig them when we could. We weren't professional grave diggers, and we had to have time off to do it, and we used to help each other. And We dug. There was an old lady died of 102, which in those days was something to talk about.
Still is.
Yeah, but these days, yeah. Luckily enough, 102 is nothing. I had an aunt who also was born down near there, near the where my uncle was. She lived to 100, over 100. Yeah. But this lady came, she was a Worstead person, but she moved away to live with our daughter at Dovercourt, and then she was buried back here at Worstead. And we were digging the grave. I wasn't actually in the grave, but my brother-in-law and my brother were. And they found the coffin. It was a double grave, and naturally enough, the coffin had been there several years because her husband died several years earlier. And they found the coffin and cleaned it with a spade, and thought, yes, this is the right one. And all of a sudden, puff, and out, the dust went up, and our two Our two grave diggers jumped out in a hurry. That was just, that was because the air was left to, that was because the air was let into the coffin and it just went to dust. But we have had happy things here. I mean, a lot of weddings here. I mean, we don't talk about all
death and disaster.
Although, of course, as like my father used to say, you've got to get down to earth. No pun intended. But I mean, he was church clerk here all those years, and if there was a funeral and it was a wet, cold day, which it can be very cold in this churchyard with an east wind. We always used to say that if you go below the church and walk down below the church, you want another coat on.
Yeah, that east wind's coming straight up the river, isn't it?
Yeah, straight up there, yeah. So, he used to tell the people that at a funeral, if it was wet or cold, he'd say, put your cap on, don't get cold, put your hat on. You know, and that was it. And we lived just up the top of the lane here in the little cottage where I was born, in the bungalow, a lodge actually. There's three lodges to this estate, North, East, and New Lodge, where I lived. I don't know why there weren't a fourth, but anyway, we lived in there, and of course my father being church clerk, he knew when there was going to be a funeral and all that sort of thing, when we'd got to dig a grave. And when the funeral was actually coming by, my mother would draw the blinds every time and that sort of thing in those days. And everybody were, most people anyhow, dressed in black. If they couldn't afford it, they borrowed a hard hat or somebody, or the ladies. And the ladies, of course, all wore hats. They never went in church without a hat. But there we are. The times move on.
You do? Well, that's one of the darker sides of village life. A lovely thing that comes across in your book, Boyhood to Retirement Arc, is the happiness of a small community like this, where you grow up, you take your first job, which in your case was also your last. But you grow up within a community. Everyone knows one another. Everyone knows each other's good points, bad points. And the thing that comes across very much in the book is your pride in the village.
Oh, yes. Well, the village allotments was a good meeting place. Actually, the allotments here are still kept up well, although quite a lot of them come out from Ipswich. But, yes, there was a lot of hard work, but at the same time, we're all happy enough. I remember one chap here that always used to go down to the ostrich, the things that you don't see these days. He'd pedal off down to the ostrich about 12 o'clock on the Sunday, always with a lovely buttonhole on. These are the things that you don't see these days, or not very often, unless it's a wedding. And, that's how it went in those days. Yes, everybody was happy enough.
Going to the pub was a special occasion.
Yeah.
Now, you've got an interesting story. I learnt this from your book. Why the ostrich pub is called the ostrich pub?
Well, that was reckoned to be an oyster ridge, and that came from that. Yeah.
Sure enough, a corruption of oyster ridge, because a lot of oysters around the East Coast.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the farming days, Ark. You started very young. And, of course, horses reign supreme. And, again, all through the book, I get this feeling that you love the creatures.
Oh, yes. Well, the horses are different. There's something different about a horse. They're a tractor. I mean, it's a tractor you just leave there overnight and you stop it and leave it wherever you are. But you can't do that with horses. And one of the things our head horseman never used to like was the windy weather. I can always remember that. He didn't like wind. The horses were upset, and he didn't like that. I didn't do all that much horsework, except for trying to get a collar over the head and all that sort of thing, and doing a bit of flat rolling. I remember I was doing a bit of flat rolling down beside the farm road, and when they all went down to get there, because there was a fair old gang there then, probably about 20, I think, probably more, thrashing gangs and all that sort of thing. And I remember I was a boy, was flat rolling with one horse, and that was a horse that was what we called the old yard horse. Everybody used it, therefore it didn't stop or go when you wanted to. And I had the job of flat rolling a piece of land beside the lane. And, of course, that was going to right, to left, and, you know, like a dog in the snow. But so I didn't really do big horse work, you know, not like some of the old ones did. And the tractors were then beginning to come in. We had an International tractor. That was about the first one, International 1020. And the big ends were nearly always out of that. And then we had a bigger one from bought from the Royal Show at Ipswich. And that was a good tractor, a big cultivator and a biggish plough, and then things began to move. So then the horses still stayed and did a lot of work.
Well, I remember you had a horse pull a tractor out of the mud.
That's right, yeah. We used to go on the field because sugar beet were chopped by hand and put in heaps on the field in rows. And we used to cover them up in a bad winter. We would cover them up with the sugar beet tops until they were carved off. And they kept very well under there. And somebody would go in front and uncover them, and then we would load them onto a two-wheel trailer with a tractor, the old standard Fordson. And I remember the head horseman pulling me off once with a load, with his horse Punch. But, that didn't make it. We were all happy enough, and he enjoyed it, I expect. And so did I, because he got me out of the mud.
And those horses, my gosh, they could pull their weight. But so did you men. You were carrying sometimes twice your body weight up and down ladders with bags of grain and the like. But you make the point it was... You preferred going up than down. Why was that?
Yeah, I'd rather carry a cum of corn, a cum, and I'm not saying it in a Suffolk way because it is a cum, C-O-O-M-B. And we used to carry a lot of the corn up the granary for grinding because we had the stones underneath, driven by an old hot air engine at that time, and then later on the tractor. And we had to carry them up there and along the top, along the granary. And sometimes if there were some peas there or beans, you were like on roller skates. But you had to get them off the trailer or the tumble and undo the string, put your hand, if that was big enough, over the top so it didn't spill, get it on your back, up the granary stairs, and along the top, and then tip it over your head, shake it out, the sack out, and take it back and ready to take it up to the thrash and tackle again.
Absolutely, back-breaking. You use the expression, they used to say, that'll get the kinks out of your back, but I reckon it would put them in.
Well, I think, I don't know about, well, I have had bad backs, but I think I put a kink in your knees in later life.
Well, you're still pretty sprightly, pretty sprightly. I'm sure you can manage a good village dance or two. The sugar beet was a miserable old job at times.
Yes, but somehow or other, I think if you speak to anybody who did the sugar beating in those days, they somehow enjoyed it. The ladies, I know, most ladies that did chopping the tops off, with the hand hook, they seemed to enjoy it. The worst job was pulling and knocking after they'd been lifted with the plough, just lifted, and then you'd pull them up. And it was a wet day, and especially on heavy land, they took some knocking. You'd have one in each hand and knock it and lay it in a straight row. And then the ladies, or if there weren't any ladies, the men would go along and chop the tops off and put them in heaps.
I think now, Ark, we'll bring the livestock into it, and it comes across that you were very proud of your brother and his